Back from Missouri last weekend. I'd spent 15 days in Missouri, and the second week I got bronchitis to the point they almost hospitalized me. And so I spent a whole week. Now I went to Missouri to see my daughter have her baby. So Adeline was born on the 7th, and then I had to go see my dad. I'm taking care of my dad, who's in Nixon, Missouri, and getting him ready for winter. I'm a little late, but better late than never on that. So if I start having now, I'm over the bronchitis, I'm not contagious, I've taken all the stuff, the antibiotics and all that stuff, but they said I could have a cough for up to 6 weeks. And Miss Leah, that's probably correct, right? So up to 6 weeks afterwards. And true to their word, it was 15 days ago, actually 20 days ago, and I'm still coughing. But if I start coughing, don't worry, this too shall pass. Hopefully I won't, but hopefully the cough will. I was really struggling with the message tonight on what God would have, or this morning on what God would have, and I developed a message, and you know how God works. Last minute he says, no, that's not the one. And I'm going to give you, so last night he gave me this message, and so I invite your attention to Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah chapter 1. We're going to look at the first four verses of this. Jonah chapter 1. It's right after Obadiah. Jonah chapter 1. And if you're able to stand this morning, if you'd please stand in honoring of God's word as we read Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Give me an amen when you get there. All right. And God's word says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went unto it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come here at Centralia Bible Baptist Church to preach. And Lord, I don't take that lightly. I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you just open our hearts and our ears to your word this morning. And Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole story of Jonah, but I believe this is really a powerful narrative of that can resonate in our Christian walk. The summary of God's call, the human disobedience that happens, and then the transformation of submitting to the power of God. And I believe those three things are important. Hopefully this morning we'll be able to see how, I'm just going the first four verses, but how God works and how God worked in Jonah. So first of all, look at the call, verse number 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Now, in my notes, I put in parentheses, preach against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. You know, I was reading this, and it just grabbed a hold of me, because there are a lot of things I want to come before God, but my wickedness to take notice of God is not one of them. And here we see a city that is so deprived of seeking after the Lord, the wickedness, the cry is there, and yet Christ, or God, knew. He wanted to preach, he wanted Jonah to go preach there, and I believe that, what did he want him to preach? Well, look in 1 Timothy chapter 4 with me, verse 11 through 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Well, see, there's something specific, I believe, that God wanted here. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, we see these things, command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but Be thou an example of believers in the word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith and purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Now, I was reading through that scripture, and it also hit me that, you know, we are to be the example of the believer. If you're saved here today, and I don't know who's saved and who's not, but, you know, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you can't be a believer of Christ. You can't be a Christian, a follower of Christ. You must first acknowledge that we're sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. And that Jesus Christ he died on the cross. He didn't have to. He did it because he loved us. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I believe that's important for a lost person to understand. First, to understand their standing, because of their sin, there's no way they can get to heaven. But also to look and see that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. You know, we understand the Bible saying, no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's simply through Jesus Christ. You can't pay your way to heaven. You can't be good about going to church. None of that stuff will get you to heaven. The only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And I believe that's something that is important here because, you know, he's telling us to teach. Teach what? We should be teaching Christ. Not only did God commend his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, you know, Christ died for us. We understand that. And we understand that because of our sin, Jesus Christ died. By the way, when Christ was on the cross, it wasn't the spear that got him. It wasn't the beating that got him. It wasn't the pulling of the hair of the beard that got him. It was simply our sin that killed him. And because of that, you know, Christ sacrificed himself. He was the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice, the sinless sacrifice. Now listen, the only way to get to heaven is through Christ. We understand he died on the cross for us, but the Bible's very specific. Is that we are to confess Jesus Christ. We are to call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. It's simply like this: Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I know you died on the cross for me. Forgive me of my sins. Why do you think that's important? Repentance of sin. It's really humbling yourself in the sight of the Lord so he can pick you up. That repentance of sin. But the thing that saves you is to call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus, save me. Listen, if you've never done that, then can I tell you that you're not a Christian until you do that? You could be as good a person as you can, and it's not going to get you to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. So what are we to do here? We give in 1 Timothy, we see a list of things, and it says, but be thou an example of the believers. The examples of the Christian. You know, this is something God has given us. Number one, he's given us the word. We're to be seeking after the word. Number two, conversation. Conversation's important. Listen, Christ cares how you talk. He does. In charity, it says here, in charity, we see that charity in the Bible, you can always overlay it with love. And charity is so very important. And we are to have as an example of Christ's love for us, that sacrificial love that he had for us, we are to have to others. You know, oftentimes we get criticized with our food bank, and Brother Pat, I appreciate you helping out in our food bank, and he's very faithful about that. But that's a labor of love. It doesn't have to be the people of Centralia. It doesn't have to be the people of Thurston County. Doesn't have to be the people of Tenino. We do it because we love them. Had somebody just asked me, well, how much do you guys get paid to do the food bank? And I said, nothing. In fact, it costs the church a lot. Well, why would you invest in people with food? It's a biblical concept. That's charity. That's true charity. It's love. It's not feeling sorry for someone and giving them something. It's love. I love the people in our community. I love the people in Centralia. I love the people in Yelm, and I love the people in Rainier. And listen, in our food bank, we actually had we were getting some food from a source that says, well, you've got to limit it to just this group of people. And I said, no. If someone comes hungry, we're going to feed them. Why? Because we love them. Well, what do you get out of it? The satisfaction of showing, reflecting what this verse is saying. It's called charity. You know, it's interesting of why, Pastor Peace, you have a church, and why are you going to help another church? You shouldn't have to do that. It's because I love Centralia Bible Baptist Church. I don't have to come here, and but I love coming. I love seeing you guys. I love preaching the Word. And why do I do it? Because I'm trying to be what God's called me to be. And that's to have charity. And then it says in spirit. Well, I'll tell you see in spirit and faith and purity, those three can go together, and how important it is for us as Christians to walk that way every single day. When do you get a day off from being a Christian? Never. Never. Purity. You know, why is it today purity is not important? Purity of your walk. I could be mistaken, and I know I'm not, but my Bible tells me to be holy, for I am holy. That's once you receive Christ, once Christ is in you, you're to seek after these things, and how important it is here. And not only purity, he says, till I come. Give attendance to reading. Read your Bible, to exhortation, to lifting others up, to doctrine. That's what the Bible says, to doctrine. What is doctrine? Well, it's what a church believes. Catholics have their doctrine, and Pentecostals have their doctrine. And no, that's not doctrine. This is doctrine. We're to give ourselves to doctrine. We're to lift up doctrine. And I believe the King James Bible is the one where it should be. And I believe this is the Bible for the English-speaking people. And I believe that when it's talking exhortation and giving us to doctrine, that we should become this. We should become this. You know, in my notes, to be an example, Paul emphasizes the importance of being an example to other believers. This involves living a life that reflects the teachings of Christ. Number one, in word, our speech should edify, always be truthful, and reflect what we believe. In conversation, our conduct and behavior should align with the principles of the gospel. In charity, we should demonstrate love and compassion towards others. In spirit, our attitude and demeanor should be guided by the Holy Spirit. In faith, we should exhibit unwavering trust and confidence in God. In purity, our lives should be marked with integrity and holiness. Paul also encourages us to devote ourselves, like I said, in reading, exhortation, and doctrine. But we see here the very first thing that Jonah got was something we call a calling. He got the call. He got the call by God to go to Nineveh and preach against their wickedness. And what was the first thing he did? He says, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. You know what? There's another boat going the opposite direction. I think I'll take that. And he got the call, but he didn't listen to the call. He got the call, but he didn't obey the call. And maybe today, now you say, well, Pastor, isn't it just those that get the call to pastor have a call? No. If you're born again tonight or this morning and you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, we all have a call. But are we running away from the call? Are we on the ship going the other direction? It could be a call for many things. It could be a call to teach a Sunday school class. It could be a call to do whatever. But whatever it is, if God identifies that call, I believe we should say, yes, Lord. Yes. There's a difference, you know, amongst pastors, there's a saying. Now, with our church, with my church, Heritage Baptist Church, someone asked, are you going to be here till you retire? And I said, I'm going to be here as long as God keeps me here. Because if God calls me someplace else, guess what I have to do? I have to obey that call. I think back when Centralia Bible Baptist Church was just starting out, and boy, I could tell you some stories. Hopefully you would stay. Tell you some stories how we were in a hotel room, conference room, and we had church there. We outgrew that. We were looking for a building. We actually looked at this building at one time, and we were meeting here, and not this building, but over there. And there were some things, the reason we didn't stay with it, we moved to the chiropractic center. And we moved there and all that stuff. And I could tell you that I knew God called me to start that. But one day I went over to an evangelist's house, and I wanted him to teach Sunday school. And if I've told this here, I'm sorry, I'm going to tell it again. But I think it's important to understand the call. And I said to this evangelist, Brother Bramlett, I said, I want you to be our next Sunday school teacher for Centralia Bible Baptist Church. And he looked at me and says, I think you're the next pastor for Heritage Baptist Church. And I looked at him and says, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. You don't understand. We're doing really good as a church. I mean, someone that's 2 years in, we're doing really good. We're growing. We had 25 people, and we were just super excited about the things of the Lord. We were looking to buy a building, and in hindsight, I don't know if I would have bought that building or just would have stayed here if I could see, you know. But anyway, it just seemed right at the time. And I said, you don't understand, no. He said, but what is God's calling? And I said, well, I don't feel his calling to go back to Heritage Baptist Church. And probably 2 weeks passed, and God wouldn't let me sleep. God wouldn't let me eat. And the harder I fought it, the worse it was, until one day I came before God. I knelt down at the altar and I said, God, I'm tired of running from you. God, I want to accept your call to where you want me to be. The hardest thing, I hadn't even been there 2 years, and I told the church that I'm leaving. It's funny how God did it, because Brother Schellenberger was just right in the background. He said, well, God gave me the call for Centralia Bible Baptist Church, and it was fluent. I went to Heritage, he went here. And how wonderful that is, how God's hand moves in accepting the call. I don't regret, I love Centralia Bible Baptist Church, but I don't regret going to Heritage Baptist Church, because God has kept me there. I'm now at 19 years of being pastoring there at Heritage, and God's just blessed us unbelievably, as well as you guys have been blessed unbelievably. So the call becomes important. And listen, you got a choice of accepting it or rejecting it. How is God calling you? What is God calling you? I'm sure, I don't know for sure, because I haven't talked to anyone and haven't talked with the deacons or anything like that, but I'm just going to say, I'm sure there's things that need to be done around here, that someone needs to be called to be done. I'm sure there's Sunday school teachers that need to be due, and maybe God's touched your heart, and maybe you've said, no, I'm going to go the other way. Whatever it is, listen, I'm going to tell you, don't be a Jonah. Give in to God's call. We see Jonah did it. He fought the other way. Look at verse 3 of our text. We see the disobedience of Jonah. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I want to pause there a second. Whenever we start running, we're running away from God. I want you to understand that, from the presence of the Lord. I think Jonah knew this, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship and going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was one that was fighting it. I believe that we see here the seriousness of God's disobedience. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 2. God's word says, for if the word spoken by angel was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a recompense of reward. You know, we like to use an expression, you sow what you reap. or you reap what you sow. That's actually the other way around. You reap what you sow. We see that he was heading away from God and magically expects everything to be wonderful. You know, how many times in our Christian life do we do that? We head away from God and we think, wow, everything should just be wonderful in my life. You know, in my life, I found that the blessings came not from running away from God, but running to God. What a blessing. I'm going to give a plug for our Sunday school class, because if you're not here to the Sunday school class, I'm going to tell you, you are missing out. We had some great talks about some things in there, and they're doing the ABCs of Christian maturity, and I love that, because really that's made for Christians to go to the next level. Just a great Sunday school class. But listen, you're not going to grow in the Lord if you don't show up. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and hopefully I don't step on your toes, but I think you've got me back next month, so I'll apologize then too. The easiest way to get away from God is to do nothing. To do nothing. The easiest way to get away from God is to just stop. Who's going to miss us on a Sunday morning? Who's going to miss us in Sunday school? Let's just stop. Who's going to miss us going soul winning? Let's just stop. Who's going to miss us Sunday evening? Let's just stop. Listen, it's dangerous to stop. It's dangerous. Whenever you stop, those things are hard to get going again. I'll speak for soul winning. There was times in my life where I said, you know, I'm just going to take a month off from soul winning. You know how hard it was to get back on track, to get back over there knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus Christ, to have a heart for somebody, to be able to witness the way God wants us to witness. I've been praying, and not only with soul winning going out in the community, but I've been praying, Lord, bring somebody to me. And I did this a while back, and God just brought massive people. And so we had this family that came to our church, and they were Jewish. And I'm thinking, that's great, you know, and I'm preaching God's word. I'm not apologetic about Jesus Christ. I didn't say they were Jewish. They are Jewish. At least he was. She said she was Baptist. And I thought, he said, you know, I want to meet you Tuesday. I want to talk with you. I said, praise the Lord. I'm going to get the witness to him. I was so excited. Monday rolled around. I just couldn't wait for it to be over so Tuesday I could witness to a Jewish person. The meeting came, and there were some other things we talked about, but I tried to lead into salvation, and they were just not interested. And I'll be honest, as a pastor, I said, well, Lord, I've been praying you bring somebody. Would you please bring somebody? And you brought this people, and they don't even want to hear about salvation. Probably as they were leaving, there was a knock on the door, the front door. We keep our doors locked because we have a school, and it's safety. And the doorbell rang, and I look out there, and there's a man, and this man was frantic. He comes in, he says, I have to talk to a pastor. I said, well, I'm Pastor Peace. Can I help you? He says, I need help. My life's a mess. I'm struggling in so many ways, and my mental health is just going, and I need something. And I said, come on into the conference room. I got what you need. And I got in there, and I led him to the Lord, and he professed. He did everything. He said the sinner's prayer, and I'll tell you, he left, and I said, praise God, you brought somebody. Thank you, Lord. It's not always going to be the way we want. But boy, I tell you, the biggest blessing. You need to pray for Ron, and that's the guy's name. And Ron is just, he's struggling so much. And listen, I told him, even after you get saved, it doesn't mean that everything goes away. But you have hope, and greater is he that's in you than him that's in this world. And boy, I'll tell you, you can always find strength in Jesus Christ. And you can always find just strength in seeking after the Lord. Pray for Ron. You see, the consequences of Ron's sin is what brought him in. You know, we see the consequence of Jonah's sin. The disobedience to God commands his consequences. And, you know, perhaps we can really understand that this morning, that our disobedience, our sin, brings consequences in our life. Think about it. Do we have a license to sin? God forbid, we don't. We still sin, don't we? That was brought up this morning. We still sin. We still can give into that carnal nature. But boy, I'll tell you, there is victory over the flesh. And that victory has already been proclaimed by Jesus Christ. And you need to embrace and grab that victory. But there are consequences for our actions. There are consequences for our good actions. You know, think about that person that's ever so faithful. Do you think there's blessings God has for them? I do. Just as Jonah faced a great storm when he tried to flee from God's presence, we often face the repercussions of our actions when we disobey Him. These consequences serve as a reminder of the importance of adhering to God's will and His command. What happens when we do that? I believe there's a loss of blessings and rewards that we could have had. You know, I was telling you about the last time I was here about working for the state, and I had a great job. We had lots of income. We just seemed like we had everything. And then when I accepted to be in the pastor, it was more than a 50% pay cut. And my wife says, "Well, how are we going to make it?" And I said, "We're going to trust in the Lord. We're going to trust in the Lord." And I'm not bragging, but I tell you, there are times when God's hand moved and I was like, "Wow, I don't deserve this, Lord." You know, and here's something that's interesting. Just, keep this in mind with your pastor, but we don't get cost of living raises. I think the first time I got something that was a little bit of an increase was like 10 or 15 years in the ministry. But can I tell you, the whole time I've pastored, I've lacked nothing. I went from making over $100,000 back then in the 90s, that's quite a bit of money, over $100,000 to under about $45,000. I've lacked nothing. In fact, God has blessed me. I've never focused on money for some reason. It just never was important to me. Because what was important to me is giving myself to Jesus. Is the seeking of God. And listen, God's made you a promise. He said, listen, I'm going to take care of you no matter what. And I've never sought money. I've never sought those things. And yet God has taken care of us unbelievably. When I became pastor at Heritage Baptist Church, one of the deacons came up to me and he said, "Well, you should have looked at the books." And I said, "Well, it doesn't matter, because God's called me here. And as good as it is or as bad it is, God's called me here and I'm going to be here to stay." And he said, "Well, our books are, we owe everyone and their dog." Didn't tell me he owed him over $1 million. Can I tell you that God has blessed so much our church? God's just blessed. And we put our faith and trust in Him. Every word, every step, every breath comes from God. Why can't we trust Him with it? Jonah, we see his initial disobedience led to a temporary loss of peace and safety. Our disobedience can lead us to a loss of blessings and opportunities and the joy that comes from walking in alignment with God. There is nothing better than walking with God. Not against, but with. No greater blessing. You think if a lost person says, "Oh, my life is good," well, they know nothing, because if they got saved and walked with God, it'd even be better. it'd even be better. Oh, how wonderful it is. The next one is obedience. This is the third one. Now, we saw the call and we saw the disobedience, but now I want to look at the obedience. Look at verse 3 with me. Actually, 4. We see that God brought this great wind in the sea, and there was a mighty tempest, but we also see, and I didn't get the right verse, and I'm sorry, but we didn't see that there's a time when he comes back, when Jonah comes back to the Lord. And we see how important that is, and so we see that as being important. And Jonah, I put verse 3, but as he's still in the tempest in verse 3, but you can run from the Lord, but you can't hide from him. Amen? So maybe, Brother Steele, you could look and see where Jonah gets right with God, and you could give it to me. But look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Now, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, in obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace multiplied. Now, as we said, disobedience brings a loss of rewards. Obedience brings blessings. We see that, I just want to read this. Obedience to God brings his blessings. When Jonah finally obeyed the call to go to Nineveh, the city repented. Yes, let's look at Jonah 3:4. I had Jonah 3:3, so I... Yes. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to them, even to the least of them. We see that when he finally, you look in verse 3, that is verse 3, 3, I'm sorry, I had it right. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. So he had 3 days to think about, is this the right path? And Jonah went to do that, and he went to, and the people then repented. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2 says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." So the first one is to get God's blessings, you must be right with God. You must seek after him. The second one is you please God. Obedience pleases God. You know, I think about the things that please me as a father. I love it when my son comes out and helps when I'm working on something and I don't have to really ask him. He just comes out and does that. And that really pleases me. I think that's my boy. I love it when my daughter, you know, I said to my son and daughter, I said, you know, we're going to be gone for 15 days. You're in the house alone. I said, I want this place clean when we get back. I love that they listened. And the house was clean when we got back. That pleases me as an earthly father. But how much more so when the Christian's obedient to God? How much more so does it please him? You know, we say, well, we know that when we get to heaven, we want to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And yet we have to be good and we have to be faithful, don't we, to get the well done. And it pleases God. Our walk as a Christian is important. And I was preaching a message last Sunday night that Wednesday, that was talking about our walk. And I said, God really cares about us. We know that. God cares what comes out of our mouth. God cares where we go. God cares what we see. God cares what we hear. God cares about those. And what we do as a Christian, is it always pleasing to God? It should be. It should be. We see that now Jonah's getting right with God. He's seeking after God. And we see the obedience to God is an expression of our love and devotion to Him. I hope that my kids please me because they love me as a father. I hope that. I hope that what I do as a father really can reflect to them and they love me. And because they love me, they want to do things for me. Our relationship with God is the same way. With Christ is the same way. You realize that we should want to please Him because we love Him. Because we love Him. You know, you take out, I know church politics. I know how people can get together and butt heads. I know that. I know you get a people from different walks of life all over the place. I know if we went around the congregation, we'd see people with different backgrounds. And I know that sometimes you butt heads. But when you look at the love of Christ and you understand that and you apply love for yourselves for Christ, all of a sudden you don't see differences between us. You don't see different backgrounds. You don't say, Brother Pat, he's so stubborn. You say, there's a brother serving Christ. Praise God. Praise God. He loves the Lord with all his heart. And when I love the Lord with all my heart and he loves the Lord with all his heart, we tend to walk in the same direction. Pleasing God. Seeking after him. And you start finding a love for the unlovable. Not that Brother Pat's unlovable, but you know what I'm saying. It becomes important. And a challenge that we have to do. Obedience pleases God as an expression of our love and devotion to Him. Just as a parent's pleased when a child obeys, God is pleased when His commands are obeyed. Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So, in summary, tonight, or this morning, I'll be here tonight too. Obedience to God brings His blessings, aligns us with His will, and pleases Him. It is vital in our relationship with Christ to walk with Him. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the message that you've given us this morning. Lord, I pray that you just watch over us as we endeavor to see you. Lord, I am so thankful for this church. I'm thankful that it's a light to Centralia. I'm thankful for each and every person that's in here. Lord, I pray that you watch over them. Lord, I pray that you protect them. It's not always easy, Lord, to have a church, Lord, where the pastor's at a distance. Lord, help us. Put that hedge of protection around us. Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother.
Pastor, we're going to have an invitation, and this will be a